Okay, let's get into our discussion of Parsha Sefer Shoftim, Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Yud Aleph, as we get into the story of Yiftach, the next Shofet. We had a small Perek last time, we have a small Perek next time, but now we have a large Perek dealing with the story of Yiftach. Yiftach HaGiladi, as we learned at the end of the last Perek, Bnei Yisrael were being subjugated by Ammon, and Yiftach HaGiladi is the one that is the right man for the job. He is a Givor Chayil described. He is driven away by his brothers out of the family. He goes east of the Yarden. But then the rest of Am Yisrael come and say, we need you. We need you to fight Ammon, even though you've been thrown out. And Yiftach says to them, what do you want me for? You hated me and now you want me back. And they said, no, please, please, please come back. And finally Yiftach says, okay, if I'm your head, if I'm you, I am your leader, your Rosh, so then I'll come back. So they lead him back. They gather in Mitzpah. And Yiftach starts giving a little history lesson. He calls out to the king of Ammon and says, why are you subjugating us? And Bnei Ammon, the king of Ammon sends back, because you took our land. And Yiftach corrects him and says, no, that's not correct. We conquered Sichon. Sichon had taken the land from Ammon. But really, you have nothing to do with us. So why are you conquering our land? And this, after the dialogue and the diplomacy does not work, that leads to a milchama. Yiftach gathers, and he says to Am Yisrael, before he goes to battle, he says, well, who are you with? You with me or with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or are you with the Kamosh? Eitz Asher Yirishcha Kamosh Elohecha Ososirash. You want to be with Kamosh, that's fine. If not, you can be with me. I'm sorry, that's what he says to the king of Ammon as he continues and saying, I'm going to go to battle with you. I didn't do anything, we didn't do anything to you, and therefore, it is time for us to gain our freedom. All of a sudden, Yiftach gets the Ruach Hashem on him, and he is ready to go to battle. But then he has a famous vow. A famous neder that he makes. Yiftach makes a neder before he leaves and says, if you, Hashem, if you give me Bnei Ammon, and you allow me to conquer and defeat them, then whatever goes out of the doors of my house first, I will give you as a karban. And he goes and he defeats Ammon, and on his way back, we all know the story, Yiftach comes and his daughter comes out of the house first. That's the first thing. Raki Yechida, an only daughter, does not have any other children. He tears his begadim and he says, woe is me, look what I have come to. And the daughter says, okay, just give me 2 months. She has 2 months. And then after that, something occurs. The pasuk just says that he fulfills his neder. What exactly does that mean? We will talk about it in the when we get to it. And after that, it says that we didn't hear from the daughter every 4 times a year. They went to visit her, which might give something away, exactly what occurred, but that is the battle of Yiftach defeating the people of Ammon. Yiftach's a little bit more in the next parak also, but this is the main story of Yiftach. Okay, let us get into the parak now, the discussion. First of all, right now, the two major shoftim that we have left in the Sefer are Yiftach and Shimshon. Those are the two major ones. There are a couple of others that are going to be mentioned. We're going to have Ivtson, who Chazal say is Boaz, Elon, Avdon. But really, the two major stories that we have left of Shoftim, besides before we get to the last two stories, and that is Pilegish Begiva and Pesel Micha, is Yiftach and Shimshon. And if you look at those two Shoftim, they are very different Shoftim than the previous ones. Even the previous one wasn't the same. Originally, we had Usniel, who was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and Ehud seems to be in that category as well, Devorah and Barak. And then we transferred to Gidon, who was somewhere in the middle. He was a tremendous Anav, but he wasn't in the type of Usniel. And now we get to Yiftach, who we see is not in the realm of a base medrash. Right, it's not his forte. Right, he is not there. But he is a warrior, and he is a leader, and he is a shofet. That's Yiftach, and of course Shimshon, who is going to come along as well in the coming prakim. So we are in the next stage of Sefer Shoftim, so to speak. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu has deemed it, as we saw in the end of the last parak. You know, it's distanced. He's not going to give us the leaders that we merited earlier in the Sefer, right? He's going to save us, but not in the same way. We're not on the same level. So, v'yiftach ha-giladi, Yiftach the Giladi, hayagi bar chayil, he was a strong man, he was a strong warrior, right? Yiftach, even the name gives it away. Yiftach could be from the word mafteach, Right, he has the key to lead Am Yisrael back to HaKadosh Baruch. He might not do it in a spiritual way, but he has the key to bring back Am Yisrael. That's why he is called Yiftach. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah even tells us on Daf Chav Hey, even though, as we have just described, this is a different type of leader than we are used to in Sefer Shoftim, but he is a leader anyway. Says the Gemara at the end of the second parak in Rosh Hashanah, based on the pasuk we say Friday night, Moshe va'Aaron b'kohanav u'Shmuel b'karei Shemo. We compare Moshe and Aaron and Shmuel. Says the Gemara, Shakala kasuf shlosha kali olam k'shlosha chamurei olam. Three of the greats are compared to three of the not so greats. Lomar lacha, Yerubal b'doro k'Moshe b'doro. Yerubal, we know Yerubal. Yerubal is Gidon. Gidon in his generation is like Moshe in his generation. Bidon b'doro k'Aaron b'doro. Bidon. As we'll see, it's a reference to Shimshon, Ka'aron Bedoro, Yiftach Bedoro, Kishmuel Bedoro. It's all compared. Yiftach is like Shmuel and Avi. L'lamedcha to teach you, Sha'afilu Kal Shebekalin, V'nismana Parnas Alatzibur, Hariu Ka'abir Sha'aba Abirim. If somebody's a leader of Klal Yisrael, he's a leader of Klal Yisrael, period. You might not ask him all your halacha questions, but in terms of being a leader and a savior, bringing people back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then it could be even a Yiftach. Even a Yiftach compared to Shmuel. Okay, so that is just a little background of who is Yiftach. So Yiftach, he was a Gibor Chayil. He is a Ben Isha Zona. What does that mean, that he is a Ben Isha Zona? So the Radak quotes four Pshatim. What does it mean, Ben Isha Zona? Right, the Radak starts off by saying, maybe what does the word Zona here mean? So first he says, maybe it means Pilegesh. And that is why we read that the brothers threw him out, because they said, well, he's not a real brother. He's a different mother, and he's a different type of mother, and therefore he's out. That's number one. Benikre Zona, she's called a Zona. Lefisha Eina Imbailo Biksuba Vikidushin Ki Kamo Hazona. Avishim Yuchad Islo. It's a Meyuchad woman. It's a recognized relationship, but called a Zona as compared to the other types of relationships. Number one. Number two, he quotes, the Yonas and Tirgim Puntakisa, it means an innkeeper. Right? A woman who took care of an inn, just like Uncle says, back by Rachav. Rachav Azona. She's also called Zona. Same type of suggestion. Number two. Number three, maybe she was really a Zona. Maybe she was really a Zona. And Kamo Puntakisa, Shemav Keretatzma. But then he quotes the Tosefta. Quotes the Tosefta, which a number of Mefarshim quote, and that is, maybe all it means is a woman who wanted to marry somebody out of her shevet. And a woman who wanted to do that was called a zona, because she, literally the word zona means to stray. So she strayed out of her shevet, and that's why the brothers didn't want anything to do with him. Dahi nimusa havis bi Yisrael. This was the rule in Am Yisrael, quotes the Radak. Milakadim, in early rules, delo mistachra, achsata, mishifta l'shifta. The Yerusha did not move from one Shevet to the next. We know the first generation, you weren't allowed to marry out of your own Shevet. That's one of the six reasons why Tu B'Av is a happy day, because that was the day that you were allowed to marry whoever you wanted. But Yerusha didn't move. But hey, if somebody from one Shevet married a woman from another Shevet and got the Yerusha, well, you have a little bit of this Shevet and that Shevet? No. But hey, lo have a yachel gavra lemesiv itza delomi shifta. A man could have married someone out of the Shevet. V'kad havi itza mederachma gavra delomi shifta. If a woman loved a man who was not from her Shevet, havis nafka mi b'inasha b'lachsata. She would leave without a Yerusha. Yerushas would stay in the Shevet. V'avi amshi karun la puntakisa. People used to call her a puntakisa derachmas gavra delomi shiftaha. That's where the word zona comes from, and that was the mother of Yiftach. So four pshatim, what it means, but either way, each one gives an understanding of why the brothers drove him away. Right, Gila was the daughter of this woman, and there were other children. V'yomulo, they said to him, "Tinchal beveis avinu, you have no rights here. Kim benish acheres ata vayivrach Yiftach mipnei echav." Yiftach runs away from his brothers, and he lives in Eretz Tov. Vayislaktu al Yiftach, and who gathered around Yiftach? Anashim Rekim. Empty people. He's not the greatest of people. Like gangs used to be around Yiftach after he was thrown out. It's an interesting contrast. That's, if we think about it, the Mishpat Zozov notes that previously contrasted to Avimelech. Avimelech killed his brothers because he was angry at them. Yiftach is thrown out by his brothers. And he goes, and he leaves, And he doesn't make a fuss, at least right now. He doesn't want to cause strife. That's a contrast that we have between the previous story and this story. Avimelech was the one that was the son, if you remember, of a Pilegesh, and yet he killed his brothers who had Yichus, Yiftach, even though they were against him, still they drove him out, maybe showing some of his midos, why he was zochet to be a leader. There is a Yerushalmi that's discussed, that's difficult to understand, quoted here by the Be'er Moshe, by the Mishnah Tzav, by a number of the Mefarshim. The Yerushalmi in Shvius, Perek Vav, Halacha Aleph, says the Yerushalmi. First we'll talk about the word Tov. He lived in Eretz Tov. What was good about it? The good land. So the Yerushalmi says, Shepater min ha-maisros. He went eastward to Eber HaYarden, in a place which was Pater from Maisros. And that's why it's called a good land. Really? Right, being Chutz La'aretz is a good land because it's Pater from Maisros? What is that supposed to mean? Why? What does the Yerushalmi mean? Eretz Tov. So, a couple upshotim. First, in Chidah. The Chidah, the Chomas Enoch quotes, the Efshar Lomer, maybe, based on what we just said, Yiftach lowered himself in front of his brothers. He didn't want to cause strife. He just wanted to, they threw him out, okay, he didn't want to cause machlokes, and he ran away. If he lived in Eretz Yisrael, he didn't go outside the land of Israel, he would still have a mitzvah of Alila Regel. And he would have to come, and by Alila Regel to where? To Shiloh. He would have to come there, and there would be strife there too. So he didn't want to cause that. See, he even went to live in Chutz La'aretz. L'shem Shemayim. So, at least according to one opinion, in Tosfos and Pesachim Daf Gimel, there is no mitzvah of Alila Regel when a person lives in Chutz La'aretz, and that's why it's called Tov. Because his whole kavana to go there was to prevent machlokes. Like we know, why is there two Tovs on day three of creation? Right, or why is there is no Tov on day two? Because there was machlokas, there was pirut, there was splitting, right? And that's why Tov here means there was no splitting, you don't want to cause machlokas, and that's why it's called Tov. That's the Chidah one pshat. There was another pshat I saw from the Har Tzvi, from a Tzvi Pesach, where he discusses this Yerushalmi, and he says, you know, you think about it, it's just the opposite. Usually, more mitzvos are Tov. Ratzakodesh Baruch Hu Lizakos is Yisrael. Lefichach here Balayam Torah Mitzvos. Right, as Rechanim and Akashi Omer. We have so many Chazals, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, he wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael to do the mitzvos. Shekadesh Yiskayim Ukulon Al Yadis. What does it mean that they didn't want this is called Eretz Tov because of the Ptur from Isris. So it says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, if you look throughout the Torah, the word Eretz is always treated as Nekeva. Because many psukim, ki Hashem alokecha meviacha el eretz tova, eretz chemda tova uveracha. It's always ebranav el era el eretz, it's eretz tova. It's always nekeva. Vayivrach yiftach vayeshev eretz tova. It's always tova. So why here is it called tov? He went to live in tov. So what did the Rishonim answer? Ptura from Maisris. Why is that? We know from elsewhere, whenever a letter is missing in the text of the Torah, is to teach us something. For example, the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Mem, in the name of Reish Lakish, where it says the word Na'ara, but it's spelled without the hay. So that's to say, it's including Ktana. The Avkan. Here too, it's missing a hay. It should be Tova. Why does it say Tov? L'lamdenu sheve'eretzu ayachisaron gadol. Is to tell us just the opposite. You know, it says Nara. So take away the hay to teach me. It's not really Nara. Ktana. So Tov, it takes away the hay to tell us there's a big chisaron here. Ptura from Isris. He went there, but it's usually an Eretz Tova, but you take away the hay to give us that illusion. Okay, that's the Tzvi Pesach, two ideas. The Chidah and the Tzvi Pesach regarding Eretz Tov. Good, so what happens? The Bnei Amon are subjugating Am Yisrael, and the Zikne Gilad go to Yiftach and say, we want you to be our katsin, we want you to be our leader. It is not 100% clear, this discussion, because it sounds like they're not answering each other. Let's read it. First they say, be our leader. Yiftach answers them and says, but you've hated me. You threw me out. First of all, what do you mean they threw him out? Only the brothers threw him out. No, but they didn't say a word. And we know if somebody's quiet, right, you're responsible, right? Like Bar Kamsa's story, right? Bar Kamsa says, all the other rabbis were at the Suda. They didn't say a word when I got thrown out. They're at fault, right? I'm gonna cause problems for all of the rabbis. So here too, at Tepsinesa, but you hated me. You didn't say a word when I was thrown out. So Madua Basame, why are you coming to me now? It echoes in the previous parak. We had an exact parallel lashon where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Am Yisrael, "Why don't you go ask your God? What are you coming to me now for? When you have tzaras, you come to me." So that's exactly what Yiftach is saying to them. So what do they say? No, no, no. Please come with us. Please come. Be the rosh. So what are they just emphasizing? No, we're sorry. And Yiftach says, if I'm your leader and Hashem gives them to me, anochi eyalachem l'rosh. Meaning what? I don't need your appointment. If I come and I choose to come and Hashem's going to help me win the battle, so then I'm going to have by right to be the leader. It's nothing to do with you. So what? Mimanavshach. You want me to come? If I come and I win, I'll win. So it's not exactly clear what is the conversation going on here, but all we do know is that they finally convince him. The Malbim goes through each stage, and he says maybe there's a difference between a Rosh and a Katzin, different type of leader, a leader that's just on the side, a leader that is involved in the military battle. But Lamaisa, at the end of this conversation, Yiftach says, fine, I am going to come, but I need to be your leader. The Sichas Musar of Chaim Shmuel Levitz notes here, he didn't want to be the leader because he was looking for kavod. As we saw, he ran away, the brothers threw him out, and fine. But Chaim Shmuel Levitz says in his Maimer on Radifas HaKavod, in Maimer Ayin Hay, he says, generally kavod is one of the three things that are Motzias Adam in Olam. But when it comes to kavod for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kavod to gain the Am's confidence in order to be a good leader, a successful leader, to then fight for Am Yisrael, so then that's a good kavod. And that's what Yiftach was looking for. Says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, he was saying to them, if you want to be me to be the leader, you got to believe in me. And you have to make me your leader and you have to fight behind me, because if not, we're not going to be successful. V'hine, he says, quotes Yiftach HaGaladi, Nirash HaMafarish Kein Ena Elatowe. He's not interested in the kavod. Right here. But what is he interested in? Yodea haya Yiftach nu. Shalo ya'ale biyado linatzeach es b'nei Amon. They weren't going to win. Ela imkein ya'aminu bo Yisrael. V'yasimu aleim l'rosh. Unless Am Yisrael believed in him. Ki emuna shema aminim ma'am b'manhigam. Hi enosen es biyado koach. L'nayle b'lochum es melcham oseyim. It's the belief in our leaders that give them the koach to go on. So says the Sichas Musar here, he wasn't looking for kavod. Right, he was looking for kavod, but the proper type of kavod. That's what this shofet was looking for. So what happens, he gathers all of Am Yisrael in Mitzpah. Why Mitzpah? The Radak says this was a place that brought Yeshuos in previous generations at the time of Yeshua. And Yiftach then starts, as we said, he sends the messengers to the Bnei Amon and says to the king, you know, get off our land. You say, we took it from you, we took it from Sichon, who had conquered you. If you wanted to get it back all those years, you could have, you didn't. And, you know, it's time for us to take it back. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. And Yiftach says, okay, if that's the case, then we're going to come. We have a Kadosh Baruch Hu on our side. You have your gods on your side. So you can dive into your gods, and I'll dive into our gods, our God, and we'll see who's victorious. And when he says that, there's a very beautiful pasuk Chav Gimel, V'yata Hashem Elokei Yisrael, O Rishis HaEmori, V'bnei Amo Yisrael, Hashem has helped us drive out the Amorites, V'yata Tirashenu, and he'll drive you out too. Halo es asher yorishcha kimosh elohecha, oso sirash. Whoever kimosh, your God, drives out, fine. And whoever HaKadosh Baruch Hu drives out, we will win. The Meshech Chachma points out in the Haftorah to Chukas, which this story, Yiftach is the Haftorah of Chukas, the Meshech Chachma points out that in Pasuk Chav Gimel, when it talks about what Hashem has done for us, it's in past tense. Horishes ha-emori. Pasuk Chav Dalid, Yorishcha kemosh, it's in future tense. Because he's basically saying, he's never done anything for you yet. Maybe in the future he will, but no track record. Kadosh Baruch Hu has already done for us, Horishes ha-emori, but whatever you want, You could daven. Is this sarcasm? We would also understand it as sarcasm. Daven to your gods. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky does note in Parshas Voeschanon that this pasuk could be understood differently based on whether you're the Rambam or the Ramban. There's a major machlokas that comes up in various places, whether Avodah Zarah or the dark forces, a lot of the myths, the averos of Ma'onein, Mechashef, Ov, Yidoni, why those usher? Because they're meaningless and foolish? And you're wasting your time? That's the Rambam. But the Ramban says no. The Ramban says in many places, there are kochos, there are dark forces that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created to use properly, to create Yetzaharas, for whatever reason. And he created kochos that are above every country, except for Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban understands all of these Yisurim as, yes, they have koach, and stay away from them. Right? That is not to be used. While the Rambam says, stay away from them because they're meaningless and they're useless. Says the Emes Liyakov in Vaschan in Perak Dalet Pasuk Yutes, the Nirash Ishkan Machlokes Ikarit be Yisod Inyan Avodah Zarah. The Rambam says, the Avodah Zarah ain ba mamish kalikar, vein lako aklal. And if you dive into it, not only are you violating an Avera, you're wasting your time. Das HaRamban, Shekadosh Baruch Hu Hitbiya Beteva Ha'olam, Shekaluma, there are kochos, but you're not supposed to use them. So that's the machlokes. Is it just fool? Is it foolish or is it just usser? And then he quotes, look in Shoftim, our pasuk. And he says, this is the, how do you understand this pasuk would be the machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam would say, and this is how he quotes the Ralbag understands it, that it's all sarcasm. Oh yeah, David to Kamosh. He's never going to do anything. While the Ramban would say, no, it's not scoffing, but it's kipshuto. You dive into your forces, they have power, and I'll dive into my ultimate force, and we'll see who wins. That's a crucial Emes Liyakov in Parshas Vayeshanah, but he relates it to how we understand these psukim here. So what happens? So he says, it's been 300 years, and you've never tried to talk to us about this. The Rashi and the Radak go through 300 years from what? Like, how do you work out 300 years from coming into Eretz Yisrael until now? It has to be some overlap between the years of subjugation and the years of the Shoftim. Rashi does the math. So then what happens, the last part of the parak, Fatihi al Yiftach Ruach Hashem, a Ruach Hashem goes on Yiftach, and he goes into Gilad, into Menashe, goes eastward, and he makes the neder in Nason Titin, is B'nei Amon B'yadif, you give me Amon, so then whatever comes out of my doorway first, I'm giving that as an Ola. The Gemara in Tainus tells us on Dav Dalid, there were three people who had requests from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they all took inappropriate risks. Eliezer Eved Avraham says, whoever fills up water for my camels, that'll be the wife of Yitzchak. So that was taking a big risk. Shaul says, whoever kills Goliath, you know, will have him win my daughter's hand in marriage. Big risk. And here Yiftach, whatever comes out of the doorway first, will be a karban. The Gemara says, though, that the first two were answered appropriately. Obviously, Eliezer got Rivka, and Shaul got David, and here not, he got his daughter, but that's the Gemara. The first two were appropriately answered, and the third was not. And all the Achronim wonder, so why? If they all asked inappropriately, so why was Yiftach the only one? So there are different suggestions given. Rav Shach writes in one place, the first two have to do with marriage. So everything to do with marriage is Alpi Hashem. That's throwing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, throwing my kochos, and having my total reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it comes to shiduchim, that's fine. That's fine, I have to do my shtabos, but that's the difference. That. Or others suggest the first two have to do with totally what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do. While the third one has to do with what I'm going to do afterwards based on what occurs. There are differences. Maybe the first two are logical. The third one is just totally arbitrary. Either way, that is what happens with Yiftach. And then we know the story. After he defeats Amon, he comes back. His daughter comes out. And he tears his clothes. And he says, "Oi, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do?" She goes away for 2 months. And after those 2 months, he fulfills his neder. What does that mean, that he fulfills his neder? So the Radak says here, the Eben Ezra on Chumash says clearly, he closed her up in a house, and he says you can't get married, you can't be involved in society. That was the fulfillment of the neder. When you're machrim something, when you say you're going to designate something to Hashem, you can mean that you're going to give that away, and you're going to separate it and designate it, and it's going to be off. Because, says the Radak, it's very hard to imagine that he actually killed his daughter. I can't accept that, says the Radak, says the Eben Ezra. But if you look in the Ramban, the last Ramban in Sefer Vayikra, Parshas V'Chukosai, the Ramban says, I think the shot of the Eben Ezra and the Radak is nonsense. He doesn't mince any words. He says, Eile Divrei Ruach. He says, if you want to give a karban, that's not called giving a karban. And if you promise anything, a Jew doesn't have the right to promise anything that has to do with their friend. I'm going to promise that I'm going to lock you up in a house. How does that work? I can't do that. If I can't answer something that's yours, I can't answer you, right? I can answer my stuff on you, but I can't answer you. Says the Ramban, it makes no sense to say that he locked her up, and even though it was terrible, the Ramban assumes that he actually killed his daughter. What was the mistake of Yiftach? He thought it was a type of neder that was binding. And obviously it wasn't binding. Obviously animal sacrifices is not condoned in Halacha. Right? The Medrash even says, and this Medrash is quoted by Rashi and quoted by many of the Bali Musar, the Medrash says that the whole root of the problem was Gaiva. He could have gotten his neder Nish'al, but he was the leader, and Pinchas was the Kohen Gadol. And the question is, who was going to go to who? So he says, I just won this war. I'm not going to go to Pinchas. Let him come to me. Pinchas says, I'm the Kohen Gadol. I'm not going to go to him. Let him come to me. And meanwhile, what happened, happened, and they it was led either to her demise, or it was led to her just being locked up. By the way, another raya that the Radak brings against the Ramban is that they went to visit her four times a year. What, they went to visit her kever? That's what the Ramban would say. But it doesn't sound that way. It just says they went to be Lisanos Labas Yiftah. It's not Befeirish. Lisanos just might mean to wail about her, not going to visit her. But that is another raya that is brought. Also, the fact that she cries that she is a Pesula. Why doesn't she cry that she's going to die? Not that she's not going to get married. Again, the Radak says that points to my discussion that she just won't be able to get married. There are many other pshatim, exactly what was the root chait. The Musar HaNeviim quotes that beautiful thought that maybe Pinchas' problem was that he thought that the koach of Bezding to be Matir and Neder is paralleled after the father being Matir and Neder. A father is allowed to be Matir and Neder of a daughter because he's in control of her. A Bezdin can be Matir the Neder of anyone because Bezdin is in control. Yiftach was not kafuf to the Bezdin. He was his own man. So Pinchas says, I don't think it's going to work. And therefore, he didn't go, and he was not Matir Neder. But that was a cheshbon. And that was a cheshbon. You know, mecheshbonos in this type of circumstance. Other mefarshim, the Mishpat Ozov also quotes here, just two other pshatim. He quotes that maybe a mistake here was that Vada ain't coming to Kipshuto. I feel Kal Shav Akalim would realize it's Pikuach Nefesh. You know, they should get involved. But the problem was that it's Safik Pikuach Nefesh. It's Safik Pikuach Nefesh. They weren't sure. They were talking about it. And the problem was, even if there's a slight chance of Pikuach Nefesh, you don't waste time. You don't stand on your own covet. You run and you do, and you just get rid of everything that that could be a problem. One final amazing suggestion by the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer is quoted here in the Mishpatzos in the Kamosi Shalal Rav. He quotes that the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra that Rabbi Bar Chana was once walking in the desert and he hears a voice. Oy wee, woe is me that I swore. Oy, I wish somebody could be made for my neder. It was a baskol. The Rashbam says it was the shvua that Hashem sent us into Galus. And he was screaming, woe is me, I wish somebody could be made for. And what happens? The continuation says that when he came back to civilization, they said to him, you should have been made for it. You should have been made for Hashem's Shvuah. That's the story. Ask the Chassam Sofer. So why doesn't Hashem do that all the time? Why doesn't Hashem take one of his tzaddikim and be made for the Shvuah? The answer is, says the Chassam Sofer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mashra hishchina on a live individual. As we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mashra b'chayehem, only b'mosam. So that's why he can't allow a tzaddik. What was that, basko? We don't have baskos anymore. But says, ask the Chassam Sofer, so what about Eliyahu HaNavi? He's not really alive anymore, but he's still in the Parsha of Mitzvos, he should be able to be mefer. Says the Chassam Sofer, and only he could say it. But Eliyahu is the same neshama as Pinchas. And Pinchas wasn't made for the Shvuah by Yiftach. And if he wasn't made for that Shvuah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not going to give him the opportunity to be made for this Shvuah either. So it's a tragic end, in any case, to the story of Yiftach and Bas Yiftach, but it is a happy ending, at least to Am Yisrael, who were able to defeat B'nai Amon and Hashem. In the coming parak, we have one extra little hosafa to the story of Yiftach, before we then get into the next parak, which will be the story of beginning of the story of Shimshon. Okay, we'll stop here.